Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jinxie, we need to start with Roni news.
Okay.
They're all back for season two.
Even Jessel?
I mean, Jessel was always going to be the star of season two.
I guess she was.
Even Jenna.
Yeah.
Jenna fucking Lyons back for season two.
Oh, wow.
Erin and Cy back for season two. The redemption performances we're going to see from those two is going to be unreal.
Yeah. I hope Erin kind of does something.
I don't have any faith that she'll do something.
No, neither do I.
But they both, I mean, they were both came tail between their legs to the reunion, having seen their performances and the audience reaction. So one can only imagine how season two, you know, there's kind of like the season two cliche. It's like the difficult second album, you know, for Housewives. They either turn in a great performance and then it all goes to their head, or they're a villain. And they come back and they try so hard to overcorrect and please the audience that they're boring. I just really hope the Roni girls pull some kind of rabbit out of their collective hat in season two for me.
I don't know that they will.
Me neither. Jenna Lyons did an interview with the New York Times and they asked about like the negotiations for like returning. And she basically said that she laid out the hard line kind of boundary of keeping her partner out of the show, saying it's off the table. I joined this process. She did not.
It's fair, but it's boring.
Yes, I completely agree. And I'm like, I watched the Richard sisters fall apart tragically for 15 years and get back together and then fall apart, all for Kyle Richards to be accused of leaving her personal life off the show. To not show, Jenna's also not going to be filming at home at her apartment anymore because it's disruptive to, what's her son's name, Beckett?
something like that.
As he's like applying to college.
Okay.
And no Casper. So what are we going to get? Girl boss Jenna making gift bags for everyone, a la Bethany on Scary Island.
It's just going to be eyelashes.
It's going to be eyelashes. It's going to be thick frame glasses. It's going to be probably like, I don't know, is there like a neckerchief collab there somewhere? Lipstick.
Probably a neck. I wouldn't mind a neckerchief collab.
Why has no sunscreen brand aligned themselves with Jenna Lyons after last season when she talked about her kind of like skin inferiority in the sun?
She's probably working on it herself.
Probably. Or an airline.
She's Zoe Foster Blaking it right now.
Truly. She's go-toing. The interviewer at the New York Times said, I see a big honking ring on your finger, but you don't want to say whether you're engaged. And she said, this is a very serious answer. She kept telling me, Jenna, your shirt is buttoned down too low. And I was like, if you want me to button my shirt, you have to put a ring on my finger. I've seen both of these women's tits like a dozen times.
They're all over Instagram.
I don't know what these rules are, but yeah, I guess buttoned up shirt means wedding.
I guess.
Casper Jenna Lyons wedding.
I don't care.
I was about to say, this is kind of a boring segment. I thought it was going to be more fun, but I think it speaks to how boring Jenna is on TV.
I'm not going to get into it on Jenna Lyons right here, right now, but I am not even looking forward to the next season.
Girl, you know I'm not.
Yeah.
I gave up on Potomac recently. I cut a Housewives franchise out of my life.
What a downer way to start an episode.
Sorry, how are you?
Straight into Roni chat.
Straight into Roni, the most boring Housewives franchise.
Yeah, it kind of is, huh? That's it didn't used like, to be.
Pull something out of your hat, girls.
Yeah.
We need a little more Lou. We need a little more Turtle Time.
I want Turtle Time back.
Yes.
Never thought I'd say it.
Lay out your dirty laundry. I want to look at it.
Okay, Roni aside, BL, we've had a very, very long weekend.
Some would say too long.
Would you?
4 days is a long time.
If you're actually going to take it off, right?
Yeah, true.
Take it off.
Take it off. My long weekend, my Easter long weekend started on Thursday and I went to a dinner party. My friends hosted a Holy Thursday kind of annual tradition.
Oh yeah, you were texting me from it. And I was like,
I was about to say, you were texting me. I just had a flashback to you texting me about like figure skating or something while I was like drunk in a kitchen.
And you're like, okay, mama.
I was like, girl, I don't know what you're watching. Congrats. What were you watching?
Oh, the figure skating championships are happening at the moment.
It's for the Olympics or something?
No, it's just like the World Figure Skating Championships. And they're all on SBS. I love to watch the figure skating.
Yeah, I never knew this about you. I learned it on Thursday night.
I'm surprised you remember.
Yeah, I had a big night. But look, it was cut short because so my friends hosted us for Holy Thursday. They made fillet of fish, McDonald's inspired fillet of fish for like 30 people. It was a very impressive feat, and like jugs of cocktails. They're really like prime hosts. And then it was kind of like everyone take these things that we're giving you all at the same time, and then we're going to get in our Ubers and we're timing our trip to Circuit for a dance. And of course, me being on time / early for everything, I was like, great, my Uber's here, let's go. Hopped in the Uber with my friend. We get to Circuit, we get in line, we get in. I'm texting him. I'm back at the DJ booth. Where are you? I'm dancing to Lady Gaga. I'm drinking a pineapple cruiser that I got served from a bartender who had a shirt that said I Heart Gaslighting.
Oh, great.
And then I watched the drag show, and then I happened to look at my phone and no one else had been let into the club. Everyone had been turned away at the door. There were too many women in the group.
Uh-huh.
And I can vouch for the fact that there were too many women inside the gay club as well.
Sure.
So I support in theory.
But not on the night.
But not on the night. Yeah. When my night was cut short and I went home with, you know, everything coursing through my veins. Anyway, how was the figure skating?
Well, you could have come home and watched the figure skating because it's thrilling stuff.
Can you imagine my commentary?
My sister, who also loves figure skating, she sent me this one American guy who thrilled the other day. Mm. Oh, my God. The stuff he was doing.
Sorry, this is on ice, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry. Right as I said it, I was like, duh. It's not like roller skates.
No. It's very on ice.
Yeah.
And like half of Melbourne. And... Oh my God, it's comedy festival season. Apologies.
Wow. Chuckle hut over here.
And he did his routine to the Succession theme.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Was he wearing like a suit or something?
Oh, he was wearing a really boring outfit. There's not enough body stocking happening this year for my liking.
Huh.
That's what I want to see.
That's like the name of the game is a full sequin body stocking, surely. Yeah,
please. Some bejeweled body stocking is all I want from the world of figure skating. What else did you get up to?
Okay, so on Friday night I went to Cam's at the convent with our friend Emily.
We love.
We had a couple of margaritas. We had all the plates on offer from a chef / DJ / producer called Yusu, who was here to perform at the, God, if I say this wrong, it's going to be really embarrassing. Deck Mantel.
I don't know.
While I was there, I literally said, what is this? Is Deck Mantel like a, is it a label? Is it an event? Is it like a collective of DJs? It's none of those things. It's a festival in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay.
And so there was like a, it's like electronic techno music. God, people listening to this are going to be like, no, it isn't. They won't. But they were doing their first Melbourne festival on the weekend. And so the night before, one of the artists, Yusu, who is also a cook, cooked a, like a kind of event at Cam's. Deck Mantel did like a merch collab with Pam. When Emily first sent it to me, I was like, yeah, I'll go have a dance. She was like, it's a dinner. So
this is very Melbourne.
Until I got there, I was like a bit confused. And I mostly was like, can we just get our margaritas and sit outside while I like steal your vape and we just gossip, which we ended up doing. So that was great.
That sounds fun.
A perfect Friday evening.
Yeah. And then you went country or something?
Just like Beyonce, I went country. Mm-hmm. I drove to Daylesford on Sunday via Trentham, which when am I going to move to Trentham?
Why not?
Beautiful, historic little country town.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Can't wait to go back. The Spud Fest, the potato festival, which is called Spud Fest, mm-hmm. is on in a couple of weeks.
Great.
Literally, it's in my diary. I will be going. yeah, my friend Anton invited me to his family Easter. Delicious food. We had a walk around Daylesford Lake. I drove back to Melbourne.
It's gorge.
It's gorge. Like, I can't wait to go and do like a long weekend in Daylesford. Yeah. What about you? You were Instagramming from a boat.
I made the very, very last minute decision to fly to Sydney to see my family, and I surprised my nephews and niece, and she had just turned 16 last week. So I missed the actual birthday date, but then I surprised her for Easter weekend.
Happy birthday, Sylvie.
Happy birthday, Sylvie. And surprised my dad who came, and we had a beautiful lunch at my sister's place and then went out on the boat the next day, and it was extremely Sydney. That's just like the most Sydney. Yeah, it was really fab.
It looked gorge.
Yeah, it was very nice. And it was like the most beautiful, perfect Sydney sunny day. And then got home and it was pissing down rain.
Yeah.
There was some light flooding in my building. You know, it just was all on the second I got home. And then the long weekend had ended.
Yeah.
And maybe the long weekend is a bit long.
It's really long. I had a whole day in the middle there that I didn't even mention because I just sat at my computer all day and worked.
Yeah, because when you're a freelancer.
But there's so much weekend.
No such thing as a public holiday.
No. No. Okay, speaking of the Chuckle Hut, aka your apartment, it's comedy fest time, baby.
It is. It started last week. We are in the second week. There are so many weeks of it. I think there's four
How many
weeks.
More? Yeah, okay.
And
God, it's a lot of laughs to be had.
Oh my God, you'll get sick of laughing. Girlfriend of the pod, Zoe Kimsmar, has a show on. It's called Every Single Thing in My Whole Entire Life. It's on at 6 p.m. at the Powder Room at Town Hall. It's on every night except Mondays, 5 p.m. on Sundays. But I just came from it.
You did. We're recording later than we normally would because Jinxie's been laughing. Wait, is the show different every night?
It's literally a different show every night.
So you're not a show repeater this year. Usually you know that show front to back.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it a few times and every show has been very different. The story is, so she literally is trying to tell every single thing that has happened to her in her whole entire life. She only has an hour. I feature fairly heavily. So if you're ever interested in finding more about my daily life, you should go and see her show.
Did you have to approve every story about you that could potentially come up in the show?
No, I don't approve stories, but I approved two photos.
Okay. Do you
photos okay, get different?
I'll rephrase. Are there any things that you said you cannot tell this in public?
No, she wouldn't. We've been together for a long time. She knows.
She knows.
She knows.
Okay, I love this because I'm going to see it. By the time this episode comes out, I'll have already seen it. But I haven't seen the show yet, and I famously was going to see one of the previews, but I went to see Killers of the Flower Moon and it ended too late.
That's true. And there is an element of her show that I think you will really identify with.
Oh, yeah?
There's a lot of spreadsheets in there.
Oh, I saw the photo on her Instagram and I tried to zoom in to see the detail of the spreadsheet because you know how that excites me.
You will see. You'll see it all. But, yeah, we're going to get her to do a little who to see at MICF this year because it's a huge, huge, huge program. Yeah. And I would rather hand that one over.
Yeah, and I need the curation because I otherwise only ever hear about comics when they're like doing a special on a streamer or they're like sold out at the comedy festival immediately.
Yeah.
Or talking at like Rod Laver Arena or something. I need to get in on the ground floor is what I'm saying. I need Zoe's recommendations.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, we'll get those. They'll be on Instagram. Have you been reading, watching?
I haven't read a book in like 2 weeks.
Can you still read?
I don't know. Since I finished The Hours, Southern Charm has kind of been taking up all my nights and then I like crawl into bed and fall asleep.
I hear on Michael Cunningham, mm-hmm. just briefly, because I know he's coming out. He has a new book out and I went to buy it the other day and it's set during lockdowns and I had to put it back on the shelf.
Because
I was
stop
like,
this.
I don't think I can do this.
We got to stop.
I'm sure it's great. It's had great reviews, but I don't feel it within me.
No, we did Tom Lake. We did
romantic comedy.
We did romantic comedy. We did we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but we did the Sally Rooney book. That was 2 years ago. The Sally Rooney book that mentions being in lockdown came out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't finish that.
It was boring.
Yeah.
If you're going to write a fiction book about being a famous fiction writer, chica, you got to be juicier than this. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what have you been reading? I mean, I literally haven't been watching anything except Southern Charm and I'm almost done with the entire series, all 9 seasons. And I tried starting buying Beverly Hills to get the kind of Mauricio Kyle.
I see. I can't watch it for that. I feel so burned by Mo.
Right. See, I like it for that. But the thing is in between all the karma, I need an edit, like how I need a Julian Julia that's just Julia. I need a Buying Beverly Hills that's like none of the fucking men trying to sell houses, like ugly houses, and none of their fucking daughters. Because there's a third daughter now who's joining the Umansky team at the agency.
A third daughter.
So the only one who doesn't work for Maurizio at the agency is Portia.
Because she's
in like
she's
high
not 14
school.
And 9 months yet.
Yeah. She hasn't got her pen license. No, Sophia has joined and I haven't even finished episode 1 of season 2. But so far they've said that everyone's scared of Sophia about a dozen times. And I'm like, she's just a rich girl with like thick eyebrows. That's not scary. Also, she arrives at work at like midday.
Oh, good for her.
I mean, she's really making the Nepo work for her.
We can all aspire to that. I saw that come on and I was like, I enjoyed the last season. However, I cannot watch Love Bean in action anymore. I need to put him on pause.
He has said one Love Bean. But Kyle is very present. Oh. I feel like she has really, because she was barely in the first season.
Yeah.
They're really making a point.
Don't make me.
I'm going to do it all. Yeah, so if you want me to report back.
I'll have your reports, please.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
I raced through, inhaled the latest season of Girls 5 Ever.
Oh, yeah. What are the girls up to this season?
The girls are never up to very much.
No.
And that's fine. I don't
Is
need
Paula
them
Bell,
to be.
Is Paula Bell, like, still injured or something? I feel like last season she just, like, had a bad knee all season.
No, she's heartbroken this season.
Oh, okay.
And making up for lost time as a lesbian on the loose, basically.
Great.
It's not as good as, like, the very first season, but I will watch every single thing that happens with that show. I love it. The second it ended, it was like, when is the next season? It's like a really – it's not a perfect half-hour show, but it's close.
I think Girls 5 Ever is your favorite band.
Yeah, I think they could be. I do, like, listen to the music sometimes.
Stop.
Yeah.
They are to you what Josie and the Pussycats starring Rachel Lee Cook, Tara Reid and Rosario Dawson are to me.
Okay. I also love that.
Yeah.
But
as in, like,
funny.
My favorite band.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So I watched that. Oh, and I started watching Palm Royal.
Palm Royale.
Yeah.
What is it?
Okay. So it is set in 1969, it's like end of the 60s in Florida, Palm Beach, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
What was that Roni argument where, like, Tinsley and Luann were like, you don't go to Palm Beach, you're in West Palm. It's different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of them's richer than the other.
It's like the Hamptons as well, yeah. You don't live, like, on one side of the road.
The freeway.
Or, yeah. Kristen Wiig stars as this woman, Maxine, who does not belong to the country club that she wants to belong at.
Okay.
But she has, like, grifter energy.
Okay.
And you don't really, I don't want to give too much away, but you don't really know why she wants to get into this club full of, like, total cashed up bitches.
Okay.
And
is she, like, new in town?
She's kind of new in town, and Ricky Martin works there, and
Sorry.
He has quite a large role in the show, and he is very good.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is the first thing I've heard that has made me want to watch it.
Yeah, he plays like
Kaya Gerber, weirdly not drawing me in.
She's not very good. She plays like a
beauty technician
who wants to be a model.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all she can play.
Yeah.
But
I wonder what she and
so
Austin
good.
Butler talk about.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Martin, great. He's mostly shirtless making drinks. That is most of the show. But the women, like the coterie of women in the club, are great. It's like Allison Janney is in there. And and the other character who is at play is Laura Dern playing like a feminist bookshop owner, Our Bodies, Our Shelves, it's called.
Stop. Okay.
And she runs like consciousness raising groups, but she seems to have like a little secret herself.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just, it's like,
what, she voted
heaven.
For Reagan or something?
I think it's worse than that.
Okay.
And her dad appears as her dad. Bruce Dern gets a look in.
Oh, fun. This is very evening the playing field after Enlightened.
Totally.
Where her mum played her mum.
Yeah. And Carol Burnett is in it as well.
Carol she's Burnett's in a, still alive?
But she's in a coma in the show.
Oh.
Anyway, like it's not like a perfect show, but it is a very good like 56 minutes or however, 45 minutes or however long it goes for. The production design is perfect,
okay.
Like beautifully late 60s. Pastel Florida, lots of like scenes at the tailor, lots of turbans, lots of very large sunglasses. And then Laura Dern's women's group is also quite fun to watch. It's like making fun of everything in it. So it doesn't feel like, what was that? Minx. It's kind of a bit Minx-ish, but it sort of has even less of a political edge, if you want to.
Got it. Got it.
So it's just quite a fun time, but using all of these kind of major motifs of that time period.
I'm glad you said that the production design is good because all the stills gave me trauma flashbacks to Don't Worry, Darling, in which it was all so like Barbie dream house of the 60s that from the very beginning I was like, well, something's off about this because it's all too pristine and like too done.
Yeah.
Like it's too modern look at the 60s kind of styling.
Yeah, I think you'll appreciate this.
Okay, well, maybe I'll give it a go. Is it on Apple TV?
Yeah, it's on Apple TV.
All right, time to renew that membership.
But there's one thing that I think you will love as a person who loves a signature cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen Wiig's character has one, and it is the Grasshopper.
What's in a grasshopper?
It's like it's a green drink, green frothy drink.
That's very me.
Mm-hmm. And I found this article that gives recipes for all of the drinks that they are drinking on the show.
Oh.
So I'll link that in the show notes. We wanted to announce Girlfriends, like our special See Also Presents screening of Girlfriends on the pod last week, but it sold out so fast I actually had to edit the like our little ad out of the pod because the tickets, they just disappeared.
Yeah, I was in the kitchen of that house party on Thursday night while you were watching the figure skating, I think, when it sold out.
Yeah, well, I woke up and it was sold out. It was just like,
she was gone.
So we're doing very exciting. We're going to do an encore session in the same week. So it's going to happen on Thursday, 18th of April, just 2 days later, again at 6 p.m. at Thornbury Picture House. And yeah, BL and I will be there to do an introduction and then we'll play the film, the amazing film Claudia Weill's Girlfriends from 1978.
78.
And then we'll play the film, the amazing film that is so hard to see. I cannot stress this. Like it is really, it's not on streaming. It's so difficult to see this film.
And even if it is, it's worth more than your laptop screen.
It really is. Oh, yeah. I even got some cool trivia in my DMs the other day about it, but I'll save it for the actual event. And then we'll come back and have a little chat after the film. You might remember that we did a whole poodle episode dedicated to this film. That is how good it is.
Yeah. It's a true favorite. Like when Jinxie and I wanted to make See Also, this was always like a film that we were like dying to talk about. So that poodle was like a long time coming.
Absolutely.
And it's been a while since we had that chat. So maybe we'll just recycle the same gear after the screening. We're not going to release like the recording of it or anything like a live show. So you've got to be there in the room. If you're in Melbourne, we would love to see you there. And tickets are on sale at the time of this podcast coming out, but it's a small room. If you've never been to Thornbury Picture House before, the tickets probably won't last very long.
So please get in. We won't be doing a third one. And if you are a member of the Hog Hive on our Patreon, you actually get cheaper tickets and you would have seen this much earlier than everybody else.
They got first dibs. And speaking of cocktails, we're going to be coming up with a signature cocktail. TBD, we haven't figured it out yet.
But we'll see you there.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, I read this article, BL,
yeah,
on the plane the other day to Sydney that fascinated me, and I think it will, but I reckon you'll probably be more, you will know more about this trend of the trad wife.
Yes.
Well, there is a really great piece in the New Yorker, the latest one. It's called The Rise and Fall of the Trad Wife.
Oh, she's falling already.
Uh-huh. And it's by Sophie Elmhurst and it's Elena Kate Pettit. She's a British one.
She's a trad wife?
Yeah. This is like Elena Kate Pettit helped lead an online movement promoting domesticity. Now she says it's become its own monster.
I mean, duh, Elena.
Well, I found the whole thing fascinating and absolutely terrifying and frightening. But
yeah,
the one thing, it's like it's very early on in the article, is she, she's like a British woman who essentially just wishes she could be living in like post-war England, as if that was a good time for so many people.
Yeah.
And she was obsessed with Barbies when she was growing up, right?
Mm.
And they ask her about the Barbie movie and she's like, oh no, I couldn't see it because they'll have ruined Barbie for me because they will have politicized her.
Girl, Barbie had like 85 jobs.
I know. No husband, Christ. No children.
So the trad wife thing, my only exposure to it was like on TikTok, which I now famously have been on for 3 months.
Congrats.
Thanks. So much of that platform, but also, you know, like Instagram and YouTube, I'm sure in a different way. And before that, blogs, like this idea of like showcasing your lifestyle as like some kind of like content production house or something. The trad wife really prospered because it was basically a way for women who had enough money to stay at home, had enough money to have like a beautiful house, wear beautiful clothes, always have their hair and makeup done, to really just kind of like monetize and like contentize their daily life.
Mm.
And so they didn't need to be doing any, you know, like the people that I follow for like quote unquote day in the life content usually are doing something, some kind of work or project or thing. Whereas for a lot of people, they just want to watch someone like clean their house, cook their food, like do the laundry or whatever. Like it's kind of this really bizarre, like surveillance thing. Like there's this Korean blogger or vlogger that I actually follow on YouTube. And when I realized that she must have had cameras like up in the corners of her living room because of some of the angles that she was filming of just like having a lazy day at home, but it was her like laying on the couch, like looking at her phone with her dog. I was like, how frequently are you recording yourself doing this? Like it's all just very, it looks like a CCTV camera.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But that content is so popular. Like the idea of like my daily diary, and it's like just this kind of domestic life. And you know how I feel about, I feel like there's a real connection between like people moving to cities like New York because they're getting opportunities to be like influencers there, living in these like small white box apartments, filming their daily errands or like meals or whatever. They don't like engage with the city in any meaningful way. They do all their shopping at like Costco and Whole Foods. They kind of have transplanted this like middle American, like Mormon trad wife life onto like a city. And I feel like it's really, as much as people are talking about the end of the trad wife, people are like critiquing this like German model woman who will be like, my kids wanted a grilled cheese. And then she shows herself making bread from scratch, making cheese from scratch, making pesto from scratch, and then making like a pesto grilled cheese sandwich for her kid. As much as people are like discussing this a lot, I also feel like the girlies who are like 20 and aren't yet wives or trad are also starting to show the same signs of like
worrying.
This kind of like boring, sober, virginal, like domestic, religious, like home life.
Well, like it comes back to influencer culture, right? Of like kind of flattening your own lifestyle so that you, I was like, when my mother was sick many years ago, I got like semi-addicted to this game on my phone, which is no longer on my phone, has not been for many years, but essentially you like did, it was like an interior decorating game and you would like choose items for at like different rooms in a house. And I found it was just like the dumbest thing I could possibly do and completely escape kind of what I was going through at the time. Yeah. And I do it at like the hospital or whatever when my mum was asleep or, you know, like, and then you would kind of put forward your design and then like the algorithm or whatever would like vote on it, or you would vote on other, I can't really remember how it worked.
Mm.
And I really quickly worked out that the more boring it was, or the more you had kind of white walls and like white furniture with like gold accents, the higher, like you would get really high points for those because you were like scored on it.
Yeah.
And then that's all kind of anyone who was using this game was doing so that you would get scoreboard. And I still am like, you know, I see those kinds, those pieces, like they use specific pieces of furniture. I still see them in like lots of different influencers' houses. And I'm like, oh, they've got that chair that gets you the high point on the shitty styling game, you know? But like, where is the, like, where's the personality is what it is.
Totally. Oh my God. This kind of relates to this, this little talking point that I wanted to bring up with you, which is this idea of like recommendation content or like where do you get it culture or like link, you know, everything's linked in my bio culture.
Yep, totally.
Alice, do you subscribe to Alison Roman's newsletter?
Have you met me? Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Famously,
I know she got hacked.
She got hacked. Famously called a newsletter. But in her latest one, she talks about going to Paris and she talks about the idea of like wanting recommendations of the places to go in Paris, but also not wanting to just be in this kind of like hamster wheel of like people tell you to go to this place. So everyone goes to the same places. And so then everyone says, where are you? And like tag where you're going or you're gatekeeping, like this like really bizarre cycle of kind of, I follow you on social media, so I'm entitled to know where you are, what you're eating, where I can do what you, where I can kind of purchase your life. And we've talked about this so many times in so many varying degrees. Like I feel like our It Girl episode, we did a little bit, our like girl culture episode, we did a little bit, but like it really grinds my gears. Like being online.
Does it get your ghoulies?
Never heard that phrase before, but clearly.
Amanda Keller.
Oh, chuckle hut over here. The, you know, like it's, I see it so often. Like I literally saw once someone filmed an entire like house tour video on TikTok. They were like, hey guys, here's my apartment. I'm going to show you around. One of the top comments was, can you tag where everything's from? Everything in an entire apartment. And the idea being that everything is so gettable that it's all going to be probably on an e-commerce site. That's all going to be from like some fast fashion version of homewares like CB2 or West Elm or Anthropologie or whatever American version of like cheap shit, you know, people buying furniture from Amazon also like psychotic to me. But Alison Roman kind of wrote in her newsletter, she said like, if it can be recommended, I want the recommendation. We want to know where they're eating, the perfect blazer, where to stay in Greece. Recommendations that will presumably save us from wasting time or money, two things we hate to do. Efficiency, now that we love, the people need to know. We all want to know. I want to know. That said, the assumed entitlement that everyone should have the option to have the exact same everything as everyone else has reached a weird place. Inside me are two wolves. I want to bash recommendation culture and also give you recommendations because I think they're helpful and you asked. I want to take a trip knowing nothing about the restaurants I'm supposed to go to, and also I'll feel deep longing and regret if I don't go to the restaurant I'm supposed to go to. I want to be a unique, gorgeous creature in the world and also buy the sweater you look so good in so I can also look so good. And I feel like this so often because I'm like, I really love the hunt and I really love researching, or just like, you know, the other day I was like, I wandered into a shop because I had time to kill before my tram came, and I found like a really great like notepad. But then I was like, should I talk about this on my podcast where we famously recommend things every episode?
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm quote unquote gatekeeping or keeping it to myself, but I'm also like, I don't know, is this for everyone or is this just like a thing that I found, you know, it's not available online. So like, what's the point? You know, if I can't link it and tell people about it. And also like, who am I as some kind of like person who people ask, you know, no one's asking, I'm just telling.
Yeah. I mean, we give out a lot of recommendations and that I know that that's why some people do listen.
Yeah.
And I can't ever stop doing it because we are both just those people and always have been.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you just want to share information and support the good things. Do you know, we've talked about her before. This is so off topic. What's her name? Styled by Sally.
Oh, yeah. Sally McKinnon.
Yeah. She did a recommendation last week on her Instagram for like the perfect denim jacket that was only $90, right? Essentially, it became so much bigger than I think she meant it to be.
Mm.
And It was from a major store. I can't even remember what the store was, but it was like a huge, like, fast fashion kind of place, which she usually does not support. Yeah. So people were kind of, in the comments, people were really mad about it. And then other people were mad because that store completely sold out of that jacket.
Wow.
Like, her followers just, like, all now have this $90, like, fast fashion jacket that did look quite good in her stories.
I have to imagine there's also a subset of people who think $90 was too expensive for that jacket, and so that it's somehow gatekeeping because it's inaccessible to them as well.
Oh, there was definitely, yes. Yeah. Yeah, people will always be commenting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it made me kind of, I mean, that's certainly not something that we're, I don't think – no one's selling out of their product.
Yeah.
But it made me kind of really think about, like, the things that you do recommend, because by her, you know, she did a whole sustainability thing last year where she was only supporting, like, ethical fashion. And then this is the thing that's kind of the breakout hit, but it's fast fashion.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's like, it's so, you got to be careful about, like, what you're actually recommending.
Totally.
And I think that she has great recommendations, you know.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's, like, her thing too, is kind of making, you know, I think of Sally as kind of an expert in kind of, like, knowing, she knows places in the city, and she is, like, familiar with, like, retailers in the city and brands and labels that I've never even fucking heard of, let alone have been to. I think there's something added to this, and this might not apply to Sally, but the, like, the kind of entitled energy of some that I have witnessed in some corners of the internet. And, like, I'm not a popular follow or influencer by any means, but I get, like, a version of this sometimes in my DMs of, like I'll sometimes post, like, a picture of a bowl of chips or wedges or a drink at a pub, and it's like, where, people in my comments be like, where can I get this, when it's literally a bowl of chips at a pub, you know,
and it's not like a hello, where is it, this looks beautiful, it's just and it's like a, what's the thing, like a, that you expect that you should know every bit of information.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's not how the world works.
No. I've also heard, like, one time a friend was bitching to me about someone they know who does have quite a big following on the internet, and they were like, every time she posts something, she's always tagging where she got everything. And I was like, well, probably to preempt 100 people asking and then having to reply to all those people individually. And, like, I've posted, like, a dish that I've cooked with a link to the recipe or the full name and the place where I'll be like, the blah, blah, blah tofu from Bon Appetit was really good. And someone will be like, link or recipe ? And I literally then have to reply cuntily, which I'm fine doing because I think it's deserving.
And be like, you're fine doing it.
The full name and website is on this post that you've replied to. You can Google it.
Yeah. And it's not saying you don't want to have a conversation on the internet. No, it's, but just
I've given you the tools.
Yeah.
And I've seen this kind of thing in, like, sorry, I've really derailed this conversation. But
I'm very enjoying this. Okay, good. I love it when we have a, like, big topic that we just have opinions on. Yes. And it's not just like pop culture. I very enjoy that.
Okay, great. I literally saw once someone posted, and it wasn't even good, I'm going to say. It was like at their dorm room, and they had like a kind of wall hanging that had like maybe a band logo or something on it, like kind of tie-dye band logo. Someone said, where'd you get that? And they said, Amazon. And then the person said, wow, gatekeeping. You couldn't even link me.
Oh, what?
And
no.
This person was literally like, if you go to Amazon and you type in every keyword you see in this picture, tie-dye wall hanging, like, band name, you'll find this. At what point am I just holding your, like, at what point do you need a little just like internet literacy to know how to go from an image of something to the end result? Like, I've seen people wearing clothes that I like in videos, and knowing they're from Australia, I think I could probably get this. And I take a little screenshot and I either Google reverse image search or I go sleeveless blue long sleeve top. I don't know where these keywords are coming from. I've never worn a sleeve or like, like shoulder. What's it, off the shoulder? This is what I have in my head. It's a bad example. But you find it. You find the internet is really designed to help you find things. And people just seem I'm saying people, I'm speaking really generically, but like it really does feel like a kind of like dearth of like ability to answer your own question, or like a need to have your hand held, or to have the person, the expectation that because I follow you, you will give everything to me that I want from you.
And that it should be easy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, because also if that thing happened to be expensive or you had to buy it in person or something, then you're gatekeeping, or it's inaccessible, or you're somehow entitled because you have a thing that I can't get.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, I like a lot of things that I like, they might be one-offs purely because I was at a weird market one time.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where I got it.
Yeah.
But I did some detective work 2 weeks ago. Olivia Colman was in Sydney for the Wicked Little Letters premiere. My sister sent me a photo.
So you've got to say it properly.
Wicked Little Letters.
Wicked Little Letters.
Those Wicked Little Letters. And she sent me this photo of her, and she looked amazing in this great black dress. And then a work colleague had like a closer up version.
Love.
And he was like, oh, she looks great. And I was like, I need to find out where that dress is from. And within 10 minutes, I had found like her stylist and then her stylist's post about like all the shops she uses for like Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
It's Tola Marmo. It's not a brand I was aware of.
Okay.
But a friend was. I was like, well, I can get this little dress.
Yes. Yes.
My wicked little dress. But like,
yep.
It's just that thing of like, have some, like, you know, to quote Winona's dad in Reality Bites, have to show some ingenuity.
Yeah, we all need to show a little ingenuity, because also I just think if you're following someone on the Instagram, let's not assume that they're all influencers who are like incentivized to link you to things, who are posting a thing so that you can also get the thing. I mean, I've been this person before. I've been like, oh my God, sorry to be this person, but like, where are you having this dinner? It looks amazing. Yeah,
I have.
Yeah.
I am guilty.
Yes.
Like, I have done that many times, but often they're my friends or someone I kind of know.
But, yeah.
But even if they're not, but that you couch it in like a, hey,
yeah,
that looks really beautiful.
Yes.
Like, not just where. ASL.
Link. Recipe? Question mark. One time I literally.
I'm going to start doing that on every post of yours.
Oh my God. It'll be hell for me. I know I'm asking for it with this, but my friends and I have a running joke, because one time a friend delivered me some beef rendang during lockdown. And I posted an Instagram story. You remember me during lockdown, it was all food. I posted an Instagram story being like, oh my God, the meal, like I dropped them a dessert. They dropped me a rendang. I was like, the meal tray today was amazing. Tagged my friend and I was like, slow cooked beef rendang. The next post is just my plate with the rendang served up, rice and salad and everything. And someone on Instagram replied to my story and said, what's the brown?
Name of episode. What did you reply?
I literally said, if you go back one slide, you'll see. But yeah. That person also was kind of like a serial replier.
Right. Reply guy.
Who also had developed an idea that we were friends or related. Anyway, question marks abounded. But my friends now will, anytime I post food, certain friends of mine will reply and be like, what's the yellow? What's the green?
I will try so hard not to do it, but
it's funny every time now, because I think that person's no longer able to see any of my content, but maybe they're listening, and if so, thanks for giving me what's the brown. It was beef rendang.
I didn't click on it but I was reading how great to talk about an article that I saw the headline of, and I was like, save for later.
That's how I know half the things I know.
But it was about the idea that like a lot of influence, God, I'm talking about influencers today.
I know.
A lot of influencers are kind of, many of them are taking a step back from being such public figures after being in the public for so long. Like the kind of span of the influencer influencer culture has been quite long at this point.
Mm.
And so people who got in early, have made their money, and then they're like, I maybe might need a bit of personal time. And like, apparently like fans are turning on them because they're not getting what they think they should get. Like it's sort of this, I don't know. It's like some quid pro quo kind of thing of like, I will talk. I don't know. It's just like the whole thing is creepy and weird. And it makes me think like, it does make me think about what I share. Like I don't use Twitter anymore. Really at all. Like I will repost, but I, you know, and I kind of went back and deleted a whole lot of stuff because I was like, I don't need this sitting around.
Yeah.
But now with Instagram, I'm feeling it again. I'm like, what do I actually want to be sharing?
I archived most of my Instagram posts earlier
this
year.
That's so teen of you.
I know. It was really teen of me. But I just had this moment of being like, I was 20 when I joined Instagram.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm 34. And pre-Snapchat and then pre-Instagram stories and then pre-carousels, there were a lot of like multiple posts a day content and not all of it good. I was kind of deranged during all those lockdowns and I was just posting just for like proof of life. And so I just kind of went through and I archived a whole lot. I found this workaround to mass archive up to 100 posts at a time. Which if anyone wants to know, maybe I'll do a little tutorial. Should we start doing video tutorial content on Sealsa?
Yes, yes, yes.
But yeah, it felt really good. It felt really good. It's all still there. Like I can still access it if I want it. But also like, I don't know, like I started to get a little like skeeved out by like, yeah, people DMing me being like, hey, sorry to be weird, but are you at this specific coffee shop? Like when I'd be in Brisbane visiting my family and people would be asking me like where I was, which, you know, it's happened maybe like two or three times. It's not like I'm being inundated or something, but still I'm like, maybe I'm just going to hide all these posts of like my niece.
Yeah.
Or like my friends or, you know.
Yeah. And it's not like I mean, look, I love when people like listeners, like when people who love see also come up and say hello. It's like the best thing. Never stop doing it. It is like keeps us alive. Like it's so good. But yeah, it is weird if they're like someone is contacting you and going like, are you at this place? It's something that I'm kind of currently grappling with of like, what do you share and what do you not share? And like we do a podcast where we talk about our lives. Like obviously we're not going to.
We're not restrained in our sharing in any way.
And like my girlfriend is currently doing multiple jokes about me in a show to so many people every single night.
After 12 years of doing the same.
14.
Sorry. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And so I'm not like, I don't know. I'm not going to cut myself off from it or like I would love to be living some hermit or monastic nun lifestyle.
A trad life, perhaps?
Maybe. I mean, like, you know, if I could just be like a little nun in a rose garden, I'd be pretty happy.
You would be.
You know, that's obviously not my life because I'm like, oh, let me tell you about an invisible lip liner. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and people must know.
I read this article.
Yeah.
Or I didn't click the article, but I'm still recommending it.
This is actually something I have been thinking about a lot lately, which is like my relationship to like, what is my impetus to share at this point in my life? I've been using Instagram for almost 15 years. I've been on Twitter for, I think probably the same, like maybe 16 years. That's frightening. Facebook for just as long. I still can't delete Facebook. I don't know what's still holding me there. I'm not contributing to the platform in any way. The algorithm doesn't know who I am anymore. So I'm getting lots of like Marvel content in my feed anytime I go on there. But like, I think the idea of like a social media, the idea of like people being able to reply to you en masse, any kind of person, it's so much less appealing than it was maybe 10, 12, even like 6 years ago. I don't know what that boils down to, but I think a big part of it is like there's not a shared uniting idea or kind of interest or like type of person that will see it anymore, you know? Like it's not like when you broadcast an idea, you're only on Twitter, say, the only people who are going to see it are people who kind of like share your values or like know who you are or like understand your like tone or something, you know? And you get these, you get the odd like weirdo in your DMs or in your mentions. And it's just like, what am I here for? Because the social element of social media is actually kind of the worst part of it now. And like I would be on, you know, before I deleted it, I'd be on TikTok, and anytime I posted anything that got more eyes on it than the people who followed me, it was hell. Because I was like, these people don't understand me or what I'm saying or what I like, my, what my intent is or what my tone is. And it just really made me crave the idea of like a, you know, maybe it's why like newsletters are so popular, because it's kind of like a more curated or an opt-in kind of, you have to at least understand something about the person you're subscribing to like invest in that platform or that kind of content. Like podcasts maybe are a bit similar.
Totally. And often you know that person that you're subscribing to their newsletter because you know their Instagram or you have followed them there originally. I mean, I don't have much of a following, so like I really only have kind of really nice people in my DMs and like have had a really positive, you know, social media experience with Instagram, say. Twitter, definitely not. Yeah, I don't know. I think that that is probably why people are going to newsletters more, because they miss blogs. I miss blogs. I miss that Google Reader. Shout out, pour one out for that old gal.
We love RSS.
Oh, yeah, we should do. But, you know, maybe it's also that's the kind of, you know, like analog always comes back, you know, it's like such a cycle of like people discovering that records sound good every 8 years or whatever.
Yeah.
It all comes back around.
So maybe the Trad Wives are onto something to bring it back to the start. I really like making my own cheese. I'm going to say it. And if someone were to fund my lifestyle where I never had to use a computer and could just cook and clean all day, I'd be really down.
Would you?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Like,
that's... What about writing? Writing is a thing that you genuinely love to do.
Is it?
Pen and paper.
Is it something I genuinely love to do? Or is it something I do to make money? And if I had money, what would I do? You know, I don't know, because I've never had money.
It's a real conundrum.
It's a real snake eating their own tail, chicken and egg. You know, if Brody had money, what would she do?
Brody's Ouroboros.
Yeah. All right, it's time for some recommendations.
I know, you think you can't get away from them. Yeah, look, we just can't help ourselves.
It's what you're here for. It's what you're here for.
We love to share, and I always love hearing them.
You go first.
All right. My first recommendation, my first also for this week, is something that we have brought up a few times and gone, are we gonna? I did it, BL.
What is it?
I watched Expats.
And you're recommending it?
I am absolutely fully endorsing this show. Okay. I haven't seen the final episode.
Okay.
That's a bit risky.
Okay.
But yeah, Lulu Wang, who made The Farewell, she made this show that's executive produced by Nicole Kidman. It's all set in Hong Kong, and it kind of focuses on these two women who live in, they're like neighbors and friends. One of them has children, and there is another kind of third party, this other woman who has something to do with them. And there's kind of a mystery that you get. It's like it starts to reveal in about the second episode, but I really don't want to say too much about it because it, like the scene where this thing happens, it's quite.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a really good scene. It's beautifully shot.
Like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm like, okay, okay. A thing happens.
Well, it's like these very...
You can't spoil, I get
no,
it.
No, these like rich expat women who are living in Hong Kong, and like they're dealing with other expats who have just a very kind of us and them mentality, which is something that I have seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's a beautifully shot show, and... Yeah, I cannot wait to watch the final episode.
You're giving it its flowers.
Its flowers?
Well, just like, you know, like when something's good, you give someone their flowers. Oh. And like I haven't heard anyone really talking about Expats.
No, nobody has talked about.
Yeah.
I don't, there are lots of other kind of flashier shows that came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. Maybe people are burnt by Nicole Kidman's performance in Nine Perfect Strangers. I don't know.
I do feel like there's a little Nicole kind of like skepticism or fatigue maybe.
Yeah, but she does, I mean, this is the right this is kind of the right role for her.
A rich white lady. My first one is kind of a Q1 related recommendation. It's one of the things that helped me do all my swimming was I kitted out like a little swim bag, and it's got my goggles and my swim cap and my little fins, but it's also got like my anti-chafe stick, a comb, my sunscreen, a kind of like balm for when you get out of the pool and you're all dry and chlorinated. And it's got, importantly, like a hair mist or like a hydrating spray. And I just switched to a new one because I wanted to try the brand Ceremonia, which is at Mecca. And I really, really love this product. It's their Guava Rescue Spray, and it's great for after a swim, especially if you're like at the beach or maybe not going straight home afterwards and you need your hair to kind of be nice, because it has like detangling, but also like heat and UV protecting, like defrizzing stuff, and it smells really good. So it's especially good if you're like going to be out in the sun. Yesterday I tried to go for an ocean swim. It was hard and short, mm-hmm. and Naiad, got to give her flowers too, because that shit is hard. And as soon as I put my head under the water, I was like, I don't want to see what's under. I actually don't want to see what's under there. But anyway, then I used my Ceremonia spray, and it was really good because I sat in the sun and air dried, and I didn't have to worry about like heat damage to my hair. Yeah, it strengthens, apparently, intense hydration. They describe it as rescue therapy for your hair, and I really, really like it.
Okay, great.
A great swim bag addition.
My next one is a mix that Jessica Pratt did for NTS. It's called Rhythm on the West. It just came out last week.
Love her.
And it is ahead of her new album, which is out 3rd of May. Really love her. So I'm looking forward to that. So I loved hearing the songs that she's been listening to as she's kind of working on this album. And then at the end, it kind of premieres her new single. Expect choices from her expansive pool of influences, including spectral 80s. Indie, Hollywood shock rock, and psychedelia.
Okay, so made for you.
Yeah, totally made for me. Anyway, that's what I've been listening to.
My next one is a drink. It's the Melbourne kind of yerba mate brand Mateo Soda. And Jinxie, you and I both got a little selection of their flavors, and I've really been enjoying them.
Oh, I have been loving them.
Yeah. I'm not like a well-versed yerba mate drinker, but I know that it's like Kylie Jenner loves it, and it's kind of like a natural kind of like caffeinated bev. So Mateo was the brainchild of a Melbourne-based chef who wanted to brew yerba mate into something like cold and fizzy and delicious. And there are three flavors in the range. There's the original one, there's a ginger, and there's a hibiscus. I literally just finished drinking an original right before we started recording. All natural, no sugar. It's caffeinated, but the whole thing with yerba mate is you don't kind of like crash or get like the caffeine jitters from it.
Yeah, I really am obsessed with the ginger one in particular. Mm. So yummy.
So yummy.
And I, as you know, I love like a fancy non-alc drink.
You really do. And now I do too. I've got like a fridge full of them, but I'm getting through like one a day.
My last one is a bit of a boring one, I've got to say, but it comes from Q1 and like looking at money and financials and enjoying one's life, in that I went to get a new book the other day. I went to a bookshop. It's where I picked up the Michael Cunningham and was like, not for me today.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of couldn't find anything that I really wanted to read in that particular moment. But also I kept picking up books and going, have I read this? Do I own this? Have I bought this? Someone sent me this. And then I was like, I should just go home. And I went home and I looked at my own goddamn library. And I was like, there are so many books in here that I have not ever read. And they're usually the kind of like old paperbacks that it's like classics that I've saved. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to get through, like actually get through like the fiction that I have not yet read.
Yeah.
I got it. It's got to be done. And also kind of takes you out of that like reading to keep up with the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. That was part of my like reading like prep by Curtis Sittenfeld and The Hours, and like the stuff that I've read in the last few months is kind of all my bookshelves behind me are organized with what I've read and what I haven't read. And so I just kind of like shopped my shelves and pulled out like a zillion that I was like, oh yeah, I bought this because I was like so excited about it, and then just never picked it up again.
Our bodies, our shelves.
That's title of it. My last one is how do I describe it? a PDF.
Oh, BL. Just when I think you can't be any more BL.
But then it gets very, very chic. It's the little, I guess, like digital zine called The Day I Met Bjork. Photographs by Spike Jones, curated by Umberto Leon, co-founder of Opening Ceremony, etc., who's now running, I think, a restaurant and a cafe and like all these kind of like hospo places in LA, because, you know, he's not creative directing Kenzo anymore. Did you ever listen to the Sentimental Garbage? You listen to Sentimental in the City, and you know how they had this running joke that like Skipper or like all of like Carrie's friends would go on to, they'd have kind of creative jobs, but they'd be kind of boring guys in tech. And Dolly and Caroline had this running joke that was kind of like, I don't know, he'd be like the creative lead at WeTransfer or something. Yep. And it was such a specifically perfect kind of dig at like startups hiring creative people who have like, you know, whatever. So this zine is WeTransfer Presents The Day I Met Bjork by Spike Jones, curated by Umberto Leon. Can you believe?
WeTransfer.
WeTransfer Presents.
Oh my God.
And you know what? It makes a lot of sense. When you click this link, which is in the show notes with all the others, and you go to the WeTransfer page, this is a website designed for file sharing with a big photo and a little spot to put an email address in. So you put in your email address and then you download the zip file and then you open the PDF on your computer and you've got a little digital zine that's like really nicely designed. And so it's really beautiful. And so we all know that Spike Jones, when he pre being a film director, made music videos, including It's Oh So Quiet for Bjork. So Umberto tells this story about being a college student watching this video and then years later meeting Spike, and, you know, he came to Opening Ceremony. They became friends. Spike is now the godfather to Umberto's children. And they just, he was helping Spike clear out his archive recently. Is there going to be a archive book a la his ex-wife Sofia Coppola's? I cannot wait.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've inferred this on the podcast before, but like Spike Jones is my number one all-time celebrity crush, would marry, obsessed.
Even after the Giovanni Ribisi dig in Lost in Translation?
Don't care. Don't care. Like, don't, yes. The answer is yes, even after that. However old he is my like max age of a man that I would be interested in. Turns out 54. Anyway, this is great. This is great. The day I met Bjork by Spike Jones is great. He tells this kind of like a Q&A between he and Umberto. Spike talks about working with her. They kind of come up with the concept for It's Oh So Quiet. And all she says is, I want to wear an orange dress. And while it's also all these outtakes, all these like contact sheets from a photo shoot that he did at the Chateau in 1995 for the now defunct Detour magazine. The final page of this zine is a recipe for Peruvian wonton soup? But in the middle, there's this really cute story where after making this music video, which is kind of this like Technicolor musical set to obviously a Bjork song, she's up on a crane at some points. They kind of talk about making a musical film together. And he was like, I was 25. I hadn't made a feature film yet, but she like was really into this idea. And then years later, when Lars von Trier wanted to make Dancer in the Dark and cast her in it, she called, like they hadn't spoken in years, and she called Spike and she was like, hey, I just want to let you know that I maybe will be in this musical film. I just wanted to tell you because like we talked about making a musical film together and like I don't want to like go against our idea. But this, and then he found out it was Lars von Trier and he was like, do that. I'm not a filmmaker.
Well, he shouldn't have, because she had a famously bad experience.
A bad time. They have this kind of years of silence. And then when they see each other again, they're just like old friends like they were in 95.
That's sweet.
It's really sweet. So like shout out WeTransfer.
WeTransfer sponsored the pod. I can't wait to download that.
My recommendation, a PDF.
Thanks for listening to See Also. As ever, follow us over at See Also Podcast or become part of the Hog Hive and get all of our fun bonus episodes and early ticket sales and cheaper ticks to things. Yeah, we're patreon.com/see. Also find us over there and tell your friends about us. You know,
we got a review on Apple Podcasts recently and loved it, obvi, as we love all of them. So if you want Jinx United to text each other about you, leave
in
us
a good
review.
Way.
Yeah. Well, depends what you say. Thanks as ever to Samuel Hodge for our artwork, Harvey Sutherland for our theme song. See you next week, Jinxie.
See you next week, and then see you at Girlfriends.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.